Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, again, I would like to ask you to stay with me. It'll be a short time, just 30 minutes, but a lot of motivation, inspiration, education, and done with no manipulation. That's right, no manipulation. This is no hidden agendas here. We are not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to recruit you for anything. Our objective is to give you accurate information. Information that will help you verify, identify, solidify the plan of God for your life. If you can do that, then you have the freedom, the privacy, the opportunity to orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But my job is to be accurate and to get it right. Thus, the flot line. Flot, F-L-O-T, is a term for the forward line of troops. We are using a military metaphor to talk about how the Christian life works. We're presenting a case that you can learn 10 unique problem-solving devices found in the Bible. And if you learn these 10 unique problem-solving devices, they act as a forward line of troops or as a flot line. They protect your soul. Your soul has mentality. And when the outside sources of adversity attack you, the thing that normally happens is we quit thinking and we start emoting. If you let the outside sources of adversity overrun the command post of your soul, then you stop responding and you start reacting. Adversity is going to be inevitable for all in the human race, but stress is always optional. You do not have to worry. You do not have to be afraid. You do not have to be bitter. You never have to feel guilt. This is the unique thing about the Christian life. This wonderful life is a supernatural life, empowered by God the Holy Spirit and led along by God's Word. And the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, the Bible says. So as we are indwelled by God the Holy Spirit and filled by God the Holy Spirit, and then He takes the Word and leads us, then we begin to represent the lifestyle of Christ to those who know us. We replicate His lifestyle. And He never worried. He was never afraid. He was never bitter. Yes, He was tempted. Yes, He was tested, but He never sinned. He was the Son of God without spot and without blemish who went to the cross for us. Yes, He paid for our sin because He was the sinless Lamb of God. Now, you and I, we sin. We have Adam's original sin imputed to us as members of the human race. And as such, we have a sinful nature. But thank goodness we have God the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And if we will walk in the Spirit, as the Bible tells us, and be filled with the Spirit, as the Bible tells us, then we can learn how to execute, live, and enjoy the wonderful life called the Christian life. Walking in the Spirit is the key, and it starts with rebound. That's problem-solving device number one. When you rebound, you confess known sins to God. You see, what sin does is sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Sin quenches the Holy Spirit. So as a Christian, when you sin, you become carnal. You become fleshly. You break fellowship with God. And the Holy Spirit is quenched. He doesn't leave you. He's quenched. He's grieved. When you rebound, 1 John 1:9 or Psalm 32:4-5, when you go to God and name that sin, then you reinstate the Holy Spirit back into control. You put Him back in control. Listen, this can happen 8 or 10 or 15 times a day. You don't wait until you go to bed at night to confess your sin. When you sin, you immediately name it to God. And why do I say name it? Because the Bible tells you to do that if we confess our sin. The original word confess from the original Greek language is a compound word pronounced homologeo, and it means the same to name, the same to name. So we name the same thing. We tell God what we did. I just lied. I just lusted. I just whatever. And God will cleanse you. Without the cleansing of the Holy Spirit, you will never get anywhere in the Christian life. You can act Christian and you are. You can act holy and you're not. Listen, a Christian can sin. A Christian can get out of fellowship. A Christian can go for years under domination of his sin nature. He's still a Christian. He's going to go to heaven. But he's not a spiritual believer. He's not a growing believer. And until you understand how to become spiritual by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit, and not carnal, but spiritual, and then you learn how to grow by means of learning God's Word and applying it into your soul. When you are learning God's Word and applying it in a state of spirituality, then you begin to replicate the life of Christ. You see, you have a body, and that's never going to look like Jesus' body, no. But you have a soul, and if you are a believer, you have a spirit. You have a human spirit, that part of you that was born again. And in your soul, the mentality of your soul, you will begin to think like he thought. And that's why the Bible tells you the New Testament is the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. That's why the Bible tells us, let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. So as we begin to think like he thought, then we begin to have discernment. And this is critical for you to understand. The enemy of the soul is lack of discernment. If you don't have spiritual discernment, you're going to be defeated in your life from time to time. Spiritual discernment is critical. Spiritual discernment is necessary. The enemy you're looking at, it only attacks the soul of mature believers. Lack of it. If you don't have any spiritual discernment, even as a mature believer, you're going to be attacked. And it might not be a blatant sin, it might not be evil, but it will be just enough to throw you off course. Just enough nuances, just enough tricky language, just enough to get you to going in the wrong direction. And then once you recognize you've made a mistake, it's sometimes a little hard to recover from that. And so you have to recognize this and you have to realize this. Lack of spiritual discernment is a real handicap in the Christian life. If your soul is not firmly grounded in God's Word, you will be tempted by Satan to take a path that veers slightly away from true north, just a little bit off of divine viewpoint today, but tomorrow and the next day, as you keep veering off, eventually you'll be miles apart. And it's not that you committed a sin, but you lost an opportunity to glorify God. You failed to take the final step in your spiritual life. Some of you have been listening to me for quite a while, and this applies to you. It's time that you took that final step. It's time that you got under that qualified pastor that I talk about all the time, the man who can teach you God's Word. And it's time you got your Bible and a notebook and you sat down at the table and you started studying and listening to your pastor teach you God's Word. And then you watch what will happen in your life. The first thing that will happen is distractions. Satan will throw a fit. He will do anything to keep you from doing that. He doesn't want you sitting under a well-qualified pastor learning God's Word. The second thing that will happen is all the distractions that the world will send along. And the third thing that will happen is all the lust that the flesh will send up. Anything to stop you from advancing in your spiritual life. You can be blinded. You can be dulled if you don't learn God's Word consistently. And there's one way and only one way to do it. You are a product of your decisions. You make the choices. No one else. You do. You decide, I want to grow up. I want to be a mature believer. Does the Bible say you should grow up? Yes. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a quote. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That's a quote. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's a quote. The writer of Hebrews says, I have a lot of things I'd like to teach you, but you're dull of hearing. That's a quote. I can't tell you how many churches I've spoken in, and people are dull of hearing. They can barely stay awake during the service. And if you don't entertain them with some music and get their foot thumping around. They don't even make it the first 15 minutes. You must wake up. You must realize the critical hour that you live in. And it's time for you to get some spiritual discernment. It's time for the eyes of your soul to see the world as God sees it, not through a distorted, warped vision of mankind. Remember that. Remember this. Unbelievers, people that aren't Christians, and believers that are carnal, you know, Christians out of fellowship, they arrogantly believe that they see the world with perfect clarity. That's wrong. You see, they can take the truth and turn it upside down. And what is truth becomes a lie, and what is a lie becomes truth to them. They are stupidly captured by the lies of Satan. When you have enough of the Word of God in your soul to have some serious spiritual discernment, then not only will you appreciate the difference and see the difference, you'll see the difference between God's Word, and you will recognize the difference between Satan's lies, and you will appreciate it. You will be evaluated by the mirror of the Word of God in your soul. And that's not a mirror of your emotions. That's a mirror of truth. The writer of Proverbs put it this way when we're talking about having spiritual discernment. He said to know wisdom and instruction, to discern wise counsel, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to give to the youth both knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. That's Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Again, Proverbs talks about it in Proverbs 3:13. Happy with the wisdom of God are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding. For wisdom is better than silver, and the revenue of wisdom is better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with it. Long life is in the right hand of wisdom, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways, that's wisdom, are the ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peaceful. She's like a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. To those who hold her fast, they will be called happy. Proverbs 3:13-18. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Let me explain it to you. When you hear the Word of God taught, you hear it by a well-qualified pastor. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are in fellowship with God and no one confessed sin in your life, then that Word of God is transferred down to your mind where you now comprehend it. It's in your nous, N-O-U-S, your mind, and it hasn't done you any good yet. Yes, the Holy Spirit has made it spiritually perceptible. Yes, the pastor communicated it to you. The pastor did his job, the Holy Spirit did his job, and now it's your job. Now you've heard it, now you understand it, now will you apply it? So if you take what you've heard, understood, learned, and now apply it, then it becomes wisdom. Then it moves into the heart. The heart, the cardia, the Greek says. This is the part of you where wisdom is stored. And wisdom, which is called Sophia in the Greek New Testament, this is on the launching pad of your soul. So when you hit a situation where you need to know answers, bingo, up you can recall it out of your frame of reference. Up it comes and you know what to do. You don't have to get on the phone and call the preacher and say, "Preacher, pray for me. What should I do?" Listen, you can't live your spiritual life based on the strength of your pastor. You have to live your spiritual life based on your strength as you learn the Word of God from your pastor. He doesn't have time to solve all your problems for you. You got to be able to stand on your own two feet. So to know the Word of God in application is wisdom. Think of it this way. When your soul reaches an elevated status of discernment, you will see Satan's traps. It's like you walk through the forest and the first time you don't even see things. But when you really are used to being in that forest, then you will see animals you never saw. You will see trees you never saw. You will see branches you never saw. You will have a lot more perception. See, you not only differentiate between right and wrong once you get some wisdom, but you begin to see the difference between human good and divine good. There is a big difference. Human good is not rewardable. Human good is you playing church. It's ritual without reality. But divine good, that's the good produced under the filling of the Holy Spirit. Remember talking about protocol and how there must be protocol and it's never wrong to go to church? Yes, that's the correct thing to do, but there's a right way to go to church and a wrong way to go to church. So if you go to church with known sin in your life and you haven't used problem-solving device number one, you haven't rebounded that sin, then you are acquiring human good. You look good, you're in the right place, you're doing the right thing, but you have quenched the Holy Spirit, you have grieved the Holy Spirit, you are not going to get anything out of it because you won't be able to transfer the word that the pastor brings to you, you won't be able to transfer it to your soul because the Holy Spirit can't do his job of making it spiritually perceptible to you. You shut him down. You don't live this spiritual life on your own. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, you'd be dead in the water. You'll look like a Christian. You are a Christian. You'll dress like a Christian. You may even talk like a Christian. But you will be dead in the water, and you will not glorify God, and you will produce human good. You want to discern good, better, and best? You want to always choose the best? You want to make all decisions based on eternal ramifications, not on the false promise of earthly pleasures, satisfactions. If we choose God's way, it is a straight way. We avoid the innocent but interesting side roads in our life, and we reach the objective of spiritual maturity as quickly as possible. Even when we get there, even when we become mature believers, we still make mistakes. Even though we've got discernment, we still make mistakes. We have a sin nature, and our sin nature is never going to go away until we die and get another body. When we get another body, a resurrection body, it won't have a sin nature. This body does. This body is from Adam. For by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, and now death is passed on all, for all have sinned. We're living in sin-infected bodies. Now we learn how, by means of the Holy Spirit, to keep that sin nature down. But it's going to come up. There will be flaws in your life, acquired or inherent. There will be flaws. And until you learn to recognize them, stay away from them, identify them, you're going to make mistakes. It won't be major, but if you don't deal with it, it could slowly accumulate into a major problem. You can actually accumulate so much human viewpoint, so much garbage in your soul, that you actually become accustomed to the stink that comes out of your life. And you'll think it smells so good. Your friends will be nice, but their lack of spiritual focus will distract you from ever growing spiritually. Your time will be spent doing things that aren't wrong, but it'll take time away from you learning God's word. You won't be sinning in your decisions because they're not the best decisions, but they will create opportunities that will give Satan an opportunity to distract you and destroy you. Soon, if you keep up that lifestyle, you'll make thoughtless, impulsive decisions. Impulsive decisions. There's nothing worse than being impulsive. And without a biblical foundation, making these impulsive decisions become sin, and they accumulate into a forceful magnet for other sins. So without some spiritual discernment, you'll be gullible. You'll be impulsive. You won't have any tact in your life. The perfect description of anyone easily swayed by emotion, you can read it for yourself in Psalm 73:22. The way you will operate is, it feels right to me. That'll become your motto as you slowly take yourself off the true course of your spiritual life. Oh, you'll say, I prayed about it, brother. What a joke. You prayed about it. Were you even in fellowship when you prayed about it? Well, what does praying about it do? Listen, don't let me shock you, but prayer is not a problem-solving device. Prayer is a means of communication with the Father, where we intercede for others, where we glorify God our Father, where we pray for our own needs. But it's not one of those 10 problem-solving devices. A lot of those problem-solving devices work through prayer. But just saying, I prayed about it, that doesn't do anything. I think one of the hottest movies out today is a movie about a woman who prays a lot. In that movie, does she ever identify that you can pray and not have your prayers answered? Did you know there are 10 different reasons why prayers won't be answered? Did you? And one of them is praying out of fellowship, praying with known sin in your life. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Bible says, the Lord will not hear me. That's simple. So you can waste your time on non-essential issues because the only really important thing that's important to you is no longer apparent. So you stop learning God's Word. You stop listening to somebody teach you God's Word. Oh, you're busy. You're friendly. You're nice. You're wonderful. You're a mother. You're a grandmother. You're a father. You're a grandfather. But you're not growing. And you're not glorifying God. Because you're not doing anything that a sweet, nice unbeliever couldn't do. Your rate of learning God's Word must exceed your rate of forgetting God's Word. If you want to exceed or succeed in the spiritual life, if you want to execute the spiritual life, you've got to have a rate of learning greater than the rate of forgetting. That's why that writer of Hebrews says it's hard to explain the Word of God to you since you're deficient in the hearing department. Hebrews 5:11. He goes on to talk about spiritual food and baby food and why people need baby food. You see, the believer who doesn't have any spiritual discernment, he's going to make a lot of right choices, but he's going to blunder into some situations that will threaten his very soul. Because with spiritual discernment, you can glorify God by making the best choices in your life, who you marry, what you do. You can stay in God's will. You can find your personal sense of destiny. Problem-solving device number 6. The volition of your soul can be motivated by the vast encyclopedia of God's Word inside of your soul. And your soul can no longer be dominated by its own thoughts, tainted with emotion, thinking about the world. But now your soul can be filled with God's Word, and you can have perfect spiritual viewpoint called spiritual discernment. Whoever loves discipline instruction, in other words, whoever makes the Word of God number one choice in his life, whoever loves disciplined instruction loves spiritual discernment. And whoever hates reproof from the Bible is stupid. Proverbs 12:1. God's pretty blunt. Either you love His Word and you learn it every day, or you're stupid. God doesn't negotiate or compromise the truth. You're either fulfilling yourself with divine viewpoint from God's Word, or you're being stupid. See, are all kind of things permitted to me? Yes. But are all things profitable to me? No. And so Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 6:12. I must not abdicate my spiritual freedom by becoming enslaved to any of these things. All things which are not sin are lawful, but all things are not beneficial. All things which are not sin are permitted to me, but all things do not edify my soul, 1 Corinthians 10:23. So the spiritually discerning believer, hopefully you, knows that many things are not sinful, but they sure can distract you from ever reaching maximum glorification of God, because you will choose not to think about them and not to do them. True spiritual discernment is being able to choose the right course of action among a number of different courses, choosing that which is most fitting in a particular situation, understanding, knowing God's will. God's promise to you is that His wisdom is available. It's available to every one of us if we'll just get serious about learning His Word for every aspect of our lives. Wisdom shouts in the streets, Proverbs 1:20. She lifts her voice in the town center. When you desire the sweet refreshment of God's Word, it doesn't whisper in your ear, it shouts clearly, enthusiastically, and succinctly. You will know God's will. But you must sit under a pastor who can teach it to you. The Bible is not a novel. It's a textbook. It's designed to be learned, and that's why God gave men the gift of poimen kai didaskalos in the Greek New Testament, pastor and teacher. Do you sit under a qualified pastor? Does he teach you God's Word daily? Do you learn God's Word on a consistent basis? If not, you're never going to have the spiritual discernment I'm talking about. It's critical you understand this, because brick by brick, you erect a mansion in your soul. And it starts with the foundation of God's Word. And you listen, you learn, week after week, year after year, and that mansion grows until you glorify God to the max. All solutions in life, all divine solutions, all have their origin in the Word of God. So remember this, human solutions are no solutions at all, but divine solutions are the only solutions. So when spiritual discernment finally completes your mansion and your soul, you won't be overcome by life's decisions. You'll be calm, you'll be competent, and you will, in your soul, be sure that the Word of God backs up every decision you make, even the trivial decisions. And you can now discern what's appropriate, not merely what might be okay or what might be wrong, but what's appropriate. Proverbs 15:14, the soul of the spiritually intelligent seeks spiritual discernment, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. The soul of the discerning person seeks knowledge, Proverbs 18:15, and wise men seek understanding. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're learning. Be back next week, same time, same place. I hope you'll join me. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you. Thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.